Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. January 20th, 2024. We're ready for two solid hours of home improvement. I realized this morning as I, you know, got up and took my quiet time and wrote down the date. Let's see, it would be 49 years ago today. I like went to the hospital for a fracture, like fractured my back on a toboggan thing.
Wow.
That's 49 years ago. I was one. My parents strapped me to the toboggan.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk home improvement. We got a really diverse list of things to talk about this week. The most accurate things to talk about, though, are the things that you all want to talk about at 704-570-1110. So we'll do that. Pardon me. David, I trust everything went well last week with our friends, our HVAC partners?
Yep. Zeke was here. And I think Scott was a little under the weather last week, so we didn't see him. But, yeah, we did fine. Slack on callers. I don't know. Where's the callers at?
People are chilling.
Where's everybody at? I can understand today it's cold. People are probably just still tucked in.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, it's funny. Now that you say that, as I look at all the stuff that we can talk about today, I don't have anything in here on, like, on the cold weather. Maybe we should take a minute on that, you know, as we charge through it. If you got questions on, for sure, you might want to make sure hoses aren't disconnected and brought in. And if you've got a frostproof seal cock, you're shutting it off and you're good. If not, and there's a shut off inside the house, shut it off and open the outside spigot. All those things. It's time to be ready for another snap and nasty. I was reading an article this morning that it went from warmer to cold so quickly in Chicago. They're having frost quakes, like where the ground froze so fast. It's like heaving and snapping and popping.
But it'll be fresh whenever in the spring. You know, it's that flash freezing.
Flash. I didn't think about that. All right. Well, let's. It's freeze dried ground.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Well, Zeke and I talked a little bit about that last week and about preparing because we knew we had both been watching the weather. Maybe because of projects that I have that are outside. And of course, Zeke, because they're in the HVAC business. So, you know, that affects their business. And they've been between. They haven't really had the big cold snap. So, you know, they probably have their furnaces on, but I don't think the weather's been bad enough that if it didn't come on, you'd just probably put on a sweatshirt and say, I'll be fine. But
right.
Days like today, you're thinking, I need maybe two sweatshirts and the HVAC guy.
So, yeah.
but we talked about closing the vents and, you know, just being careful with, you know, the freezing temperatures because we're not used to it. And then, as Chicago, it'll creep right up on you. You don't realize it.
So. Yeah. I was I was in a very warm climate last weekend. It's the reason I missed the show. And one of the folks presenting at the event that I was at was from Chicago, and they introduced her as the lady from the place where it was, as we speak, 88 degrees colder than where we are right now.
Right.
88 degrees colder. Ouch.
No, you must have been in the land of the senoritas and margaritas.
I was in Cancun. I'm like, hey, can you believe they pay me to do this? It was an awesome group that I was with. Super, just the culture of the people. I mean, the Mexican culture, cool, good, what it is. The traditional Mexican culture is very attractive, but the group of people that I was with was a U.S. company, but super great culture. And we may actually talk to some of those guys in the course of our next year, maybe, because they've got they have companies that are very relevant to the kinds of things that you and I talk about. So, but it was great. It was beautiful. And then, you know, at 4 o'clock Monday morning, I was headed back to Atlanta. So, yeah, it's kind of like ripping the Band-Aid off.
So much for that
wonderful
life.
Yeah, but it was fine. It was really worth
You're
it.
You're an early riser anyway, so.
Yeah, it didn't matter. So, look, we got a lot to talk about this morning. We want to talk about things that are relevant to you folks. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, that's our number. Grab a cup of coffee, and we'll talk about it. David, just a little bit of a teaser. I've got everything on this list this morning. I got a little hack for cabinets, older cabinets, but I remember having to deal with this at my parents' house, and I wish I had thought of this when I was doing that. We'll talk a little bit about LVT flooring and some installation tips. We'll talk about plumbing and maybe some options there. And thinking through, if you're not a person that is good at sweating copper, and as many times as I have tried that, it's just not something I do well. But maybe we'll talk about different options there, and from especially from a consumer or do-it-yourself perspective. We'll talk about a little bit of damage repair, damage control, dealing with different fasteners to different surfaces. So just a lot of different stuff that's all out there. And it probably triggers some additional questions for y'all. And of course, we're happy to answer those. Interrupt us at any time. 704-570-1110. That's the number. We're going to slip away for our first break. And then we'll be back to talk to you and to whomever at 704-570-1110 when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Mark has a question. Mark, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Doing well.
Listen, I was at the Home Depot. Well, I'm always at the Home Depot, it seems like. But
God bless
I'm a do-it-yourself type with absolutely no training or experience. So that's fun, especially doing electrical stuff. But I bought this. I'm trying to grab the can. It's Behr Premium Semi-Gloss Cabinet Door and Trim Enamel.
Yes.
And, you know, I bought it, and I thought, okay, because there's some baseboards and stuff that really need to be painted. Hmm. And, you know, I didn't know semi-gloss from gloss or matte or flat or satin.
Yep.
You know, what baseboard should be. So I got semi-gloss. But I got home, and at some point I started reading the can, and it says, do not use this without tinting. And I thought, oh, well, shoot. I thought this was a one and done.
Yeah.
So why is that? Why is it had to
so,
be tinted?
So that particular product is an awesome product, and it's I probably got the terminology wrong, but it's like an enamel, so it dries super, super hard. And okay. And I believe it's the reason it's requiring I do not know if the reason it's requiring tinting is a chemical solution or the fact that it's just a color. It doesn't look like white, it doesn't look like gray, it's just there. It was developed precisely for what they said for cabinets, right? So so the idea is if you got a drawer front or a cabinet door, you hit it with your ring, you knock a spoon against it as you put it into the silverware drawer, it's super hard and it doesn't ding. It's not the right product for the application you're talking about for the baseboards. I guess you could do it You could tint it and say, hey, the baseboard's going to take abuse, mm-hmm. like the cabinet door is. But you're going to find out not only does it need tint, but you're going to discover that applying it is a much different process than much different.
They're just a basic semi-gloss interior paint. Exterior.
Yeah, it's far less forgiving as far as brush strokes and how fast it dries.
Okay, well,
and stuff
I was going
like
to use
that.
A roller, but, you know, speaking of door cabinets, that's on my checklist of things to do because I actually didn't clog the sink. I put a stopper in the sink and walked away and forgot about it. I've done this in the laundry room, and I've done it in the downstairs basement bathroom, and it flooded over. And, you know, big mess, but those cabinet doors kind of fluffed.
Yeah.
They got really, because they're just press board or something.
Yeah,
sure.
There's a thermofoil finish in there.
It's like a chia pet.
I took a chisel and I chiseled them back down and painted them over. And so I do need some paint for them, too.
Yeah, so if you wanted to put paint on those doors, I would encourage you to think about just finding a replacement cabinet door, which you can do, because it could be less expensive in the long run, certainly easier than what it's going to take to pop those doors off, lay them flat, put the right paint on there, you know, let it dry. So you might investigate just a replacement door.
Well, you know, I have kind of peripherally looked for doors, like you're saying. Does like Home Depot sell doors?
You have to check with the kitchen cabinet folks. We used to have a program just for doors and door fronts to replace them for your cabinet. If not, there's companies.
I saw a bunch of hinges and stuff, but.
Yeah, no, you want to do the doors. There's also a company, I think that Home Depot at one point used to own and sold, called Enhance A, or it's just N, Hance. And they do cabinet fronts, door replacements, and those things. You could check those guys out also. But let's go back real quick to the paint thing. Take that paint back. It's wrong. And just get if you want gloss or semi-gloss, I like at least semi-gloss on trim and baseboard. Actually, I like gloss. I like semi-gloss or gloss. Barb says high gloss is too much, so I don't do that. But I put semi-gloss on all the trim, casing, baseboards, and so on. And if you want a really good paint, pick up a Dynasty, a Behr Dynasty. That's their top end, I think. So you'll get the durability, the scrubability, but without the complexity of the actual chemical engineering that goes into the product that you've got.
And I've used... You know, it comes in pure white or whatever.
Ultra pure
and I've
white,
used that, but that's way too wide for these baseboards. They look white, but when you put pure white on them, they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how to tell them to add a little something to it.
They can add a drop of black.
Black. And it'll tone it down.
Yeah, it'll tone it down. And it makes it cover better as well.
Okay. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for the call. Have a good one, Mark.
Take care. Oh, bye.
That's a case where, hey, I'm going to go just get the crazy best thing is ultimately not going to serve him well. I don't know, though. I should have had him. We should have got Richard to. I think Richard is still the Behr rep for Pineville and all those stores, David, the guy that was there.
I'm not
like
sure.
30 years
ago.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
But anyway, I don't know if it's a chemical thing that the pigment. I don't think the pigment causes any kind of chemical.
Well, I just think there's so many different colors of white.
Yeah.
That they allow you that. But if you, I'm on the handy Home Depot app, and I was looking at this paint, and it shows all the different colors. So that's what it's. That's what it's telling you is that it you know, you can tint it all these different colors. So I think rather than have the, the different levels of tint, I think there's just basic white and most paint and then medium and then dark.
Yep. Tint bases.
And I think this takes any tint base.
Ah, okay.
So from light to dark. So pretty interesting. And that's a brushable paint. We used a paint similar on our trim that's a real hard finish. It's made by Sherwin-Williams, but the painters brought it, and they sprayed everything, and it's beautiful. But
yeah.
I tell you, when you go back and brush it, it doesn't to touch up. You can tell.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. So.
Yeah, it's not forgiving once it's in place. Let's get Shannon. Good morning, Shannon. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I have a little small efficiency condo down at the beach, and it has tile floor in the hall and bathroom, and it is a white tile, and it has a very prominent grout line. But it stays, we rent the condo out, and it stays black. That tile is filthy. And I can go down there and spend the whole day cleaning it and make it pretty and white. Is there something I can put on top of that tile to seal it so that it stays white and the dirt doesn't get into it?
The tile, the tile or the grout?
Yeah.
Both.
So is it ceramic tile?
Yes.
And the dirt sticks to it? You can't just wipe it off?
No, it's got a like a texture to it.
Oh.
But, I'm sure part of it is probably the cleaning people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably use dirty
they leave
water.
Dirty water, and they dirty leave mop. Yeah. And did they didn't wax it, did they, by chance?
No.
Okay.
No, so, all they do is swipe out. See where the swipe marks from the mop are on the baseboard.
Yeah, all right. So,
but
so,
the tile and the grout is absolutely filthy. I mean, it's black. It doesn't even look anything like what it did when I sent pictures to the property management, and I said, this is why they're not show you, they're not cleaning. And they were like, oh, my God, you mean that tile is supposed to be that color?
So it sounds like. It sounds like, Shannon, it's possible, I don't know, that A, somebody tried to put some kind of paint or something on that somewhere in the process, or they used a cleaner that was caustic and may have done something to the fired ceramic finish so it's no longer impervious.
Well, my girlfriend owned the condo across the hall before she died, and her whole condo was that. And now it's the same way. And everybody's condo that I've been in, that tile, it's all like that. It's all filthy.
Okay, so a couple options. If you don't want to get out the jackhammer and pull it up and replace it, you might try a product manufactured by Labs, L-A-B-S. It might also be... it's at the Home Depot. It's in a green bottle with a gold cap. I forget... Labs is the manufacturer. I think it has like a kind of a marketing name, but it's just a grout. There's a grout sealer and a tile cleaner and sealer. And you may want to get it all cleaned up and then apply the cleaner or you can clean it, cleaner sealer to the. David, do you have your app up? Are you hunting for that while we're talking?
I am.
Thank you for that. I knew you would be.
Well, you know, I had thought about after I cleaned it. Putting down like polyurethane, like they do on the wood floors.
Mm-mm. No, that'll just pull back up again. It'll look like your skin after a bad sunburn. Don't do that. If you want something that's designed to be compatible with the tile products, my fear is, well, if you said all the different condos are the same way, it sounds like it could just a bad decision as far as they probably didn't want it to be slick, right? So they got this textured surface. But did you find it, David?
I did.
What is it?
It's a tile lab, so it's grout and tile sealer, as you said, John. And it's made by Tile Lab, a 4-quart penetrating sealer for tile, concrete, porcelain, stone, and grout. It's 5087 per gallon. And I was looking to see what the...
And a gallon should do both the hall and the bathroom.
Probably.
I would think so.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. It is. I mean, that's the only place. The man that I bought the condo from was a 95-year-old man that lived there year-round. And
hey,
so really basically
Shannon, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have to go to a break in just a minute, so we'll put you on hold. So David will share some additional information on this, and then
thank you.
Get you squared away. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
You bet. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Slide away here for our break. We'll be back to answer your questions at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or ask johnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. We'll do all of that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Let's do our Home Depot product of the week. While we're inside, freezing cold, you want to do something to spruce the place up. Nothing like upgrade to the backsplash. This week's product of the week is Dell Tile's Express Mosaic Perfect Fit Marble Tile. It's cut. When I say perfect fit, it's cut. It's 11 inches wide by 18 inches high, so typically the backsplash on a standard kitchen between the top of the countertop and the bottom of the cabinet would be 18 inches. It fits in there perfectly, so there's no cutting. You can do really pretty mosaic tiles, but when you have to cut them, it really is a challenge and not required here. I've looked at the different videos for the installation. It comes out looking like $1 million, and you don't have to spend it. So super easy to apply, no cutting. Check it out. At the Home Depot, it's Express Mosaic Perfect Fit. The style I'm looking at is called Coastal Marble, and it's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like one of those kind of cube designs that looks three-dimensional. When you put an accent grout in there, it really does look sharp. So check it out. That's our Home Depot product of the week. And in case you didn't know, it's 2024, and it's an election year, and WBT is gearing up to bring you all the latest on what's sure to be an exciting election cycle. We'd like you to join us for WBT's North Carolina 8th Congressional District Republican primary debate. It's Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m. at Wingate University's Batt Center. It'll be moderated by Bo and Beth. That will be awesome. With questions to candidates coming from the whole WBT team. Vince Coakley, Pete Callender, Brett Winterbull, Mark Garrison, and Brett Jensen. Thank you to our sponsor, Wingate University. Listen to this in its entirety right here on WBT. That could be really good. All right, 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. Let's dive into the list, though, David. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, real quick. Shannon, I was looking on the app trying to find that information while she was on the phone. Anyway, I told her I would put it over the air. So Matthews has 2 gallons of that product. It's an aisle 6, bay 2, Shannon. So you should be able to go right in. And that's the Labs tile sealer, tile and grout sealer. And it's $50.87 a gallon.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you for doing that. Labs Corp is an industry respected manufacturer for those kinds of products. So it should be good. All right, jumping over to this list, David, there was a question about improving bathroom ventilation. I don't know whether it's like, hey, I want a bigger fan, or I just want to do the things that will help me air the bathroom out better. And there's a lot, but there's a couple different ways to think about that, right? And we've spoken about... we'll kill two birds with one stone here. We've spoken about, look, you can have an adequate exhaust fan, but if your door isn't undercut adequately, there's no fresh air coming in, so it's not going to work well. So problem number one to solve is making sure the door is, there's enough space between your carpet or whatever your flooring surface is and the bottom of the door. So if you added carpet, there could be a problem. If tile has been added and there's a saddle, or you added a quarter inch underlayment and then tile, you could be very tight there. So that's the place to look. But David, let's just say, all right, I looked at it and it's super tight. It's less than a quarter of an inch, less than an eighth of an inch. How do I fix that?
Well, usually the easiest thing is to take the door off the hinges and cut what you need off of the door. In that case, you're looking at about 3/4 of an inch. Herein lies the problem. Most of those doors only have about 1 inch of blocking in the bottom of them. So most doors are hollow core. You can tell by just tapping on it.
Mm-hmm.
with your knuckles. and you could tell that it's hollow. If it's hollow, what it is it has basically it's a picture frame of a 1x2 all the way around that door. It's a little the dimensions are different than that, but
yes, but we get the idea. Yeah.
So when you cut the bottom of that door off, if you either cut too close to the end of that board or you cut it completely out, which happens all the time, then you have to put something back in there, and then it's not a hard thing to do, but if you don't have the tools to do it, it becomes a little bit of a problem. You really need a table saw. When I cut one off, I'll cut it off, and then I'll take that piece that I cut off, run it back through the table saw, and shave off the skin of the door, and then I'll glue it up, and I'll put it back in, and then I'll pin it in with some wire nails. You don't see them, and then that'll hold it in place until the glue dries. So, but anything that you can do like that, you can glue it and clamp it and do all of that. But that's what has to be done. You have to cut the door off, but I hate to tell people to do that, and then they go, "Oh, well, now the door's hollow and there's nothing. There's the door's flapping when you close it. You have to put that back in because the door will eventually it will self destruct opening and closing.
It'll rack, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't looked, but I'd be willing to bet there's a YouTube video on how to do that. Actually one of the first things that I learned as a carpenter's helper. We used to do basements, remodel basements, so we were all the time, because of ceiling heights, cutting doors and reblocking them. It's not that hard to do.
It is not that hard, but you do need to have the tools. And, of course, when you expect it, it's not a big deal. But when that happens, it'd be kind of like Mark calling and telling us his handyman woes.
He's funny.
So there you go. You know, it's not a huge deal, but be prepared for that. And you really then they tell you about 1 inch, and it doesn't sound. I mean, it seems like it's a big gap, but if the door's 3 foot wide and it's 1 inch, you're getting 3 square inches is all you're getting of.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting a lot.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there you go.
Good deal. Thank you for that information. And oh my gosh, it's time for another break. So we'll go ahead and take it. We'll slip away for a break here. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, fam. I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in hope today.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Here comes Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thank you.
I got a question for you. I tiled my bathroom, and I got some foundation problems, and it's cracked my mud bed. What can I do to fill in that seam until I can tear it all out and fix the foundation problem and start all over?
Caulk. It's really the only thing that's going to hold up. If you put anything,
polyurethane.
Yeah, polyurethane caulk is going to hold up the best. You need to clean that and dry it. The best thing is alcohol.
What do you mean alcohol? Alcohol? He's saying
denatured alcohol.
Denatured or regular
isopropyl,
isopropyl alcohol that you clean,
okay. Clean
that
clean
you disinfect it. With okay. Yeah, but it'll displace the water, it'll dry it out, so you'll want to just kind of just pour that down in there. I would take a shop vac first and vacuum it out, the crack, a wet vac, and vacuum it real good and do several times, and then I would pour the alcohol on that, and then I would put a fan and let it dry, and then use the polyurethane caulk to fill that joint, and then let that dry for 24 hours, and you should be good to go.
It's called polyurethane.
Look for an OSI caulk. You can get clear. It's crystal clear. You'll know it's there, but it won't be as noticeable as if you use a color.
I don't care what it looks like. I'm just trying to say, the other dam's just going on, you know?
Yeah.
My brother-in-law says I used the wrong tile. It's a small little tile near the sheets with the little square.
On the floor? No.
That's actually better.
That's what you're supposed to use, because all those grout joints actually give you traction in a shower and in a bathroom floor where it's slippery. So smaller tiles are always better on the floor than bigger tiles, unless you're like Shannon and you could get a textured tile, but then you could try to figure out how to keep it clean.
Yeah, I just heard her on that. And,
yeah.
I called last time. It's the second time caller, and y'all really helped me. I had a water heater problem, and it was it's old, and it was fluctuating hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wanting to replace it, and I got a question right quick. There's one I found that it says instant hot water, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. you don't have to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that run the power bill tremendous high? I mean, how's that work? Is there a fan there running all the time, or keeping that water warm?
Instant hot water. If you're buying something that recirculates the water, then what it's doing is it's looping the water from the water heater back through the cold water side and bringing it. And I'm sure that it's going to make the power bill go up a little bit, but I think it's not really noticeable, John.
No, it's not.
I know you have one.
Yeah, I have one. And I have it set on a timer, Jimmy, so that it doesn't run constantly. It just runs at periods of time in the day where we're likely to be using the shower or the sinks or the master bath. And it's a little pump. I mean, I don't know how many amps. I could go look. It's in the next room. I can check
it. It's built in the system, right?
Yeah.
Right. If it fits on top of the water heater, and then there's a little valve that goes, you put this in the supply lines in the furthest point from the water heater. You determine which fixture that is. It's going to be a lavatory, your bathroom sink probably somewhere. And then when it senses that the temperature is good enough, it'll turn the pump off. Or as John says, you can get one with a timer, so that it's not doing it all day long. You only do it when you like, if you get up at 5 o'clock every day and you take your shower at 6, you want that to come on at 5:30 and go for an hour or two.
Gotcha.
That's how that works.
Yeah,
but no water heater. I just want to say this out loud. No water heater, even people call tankless water heaters instant water, hot water. Just because you put one of those in doesn't mean that the water's going to get to your faucet any faster, because it won't. It'll be hot when it finally gets there, but that has to clear all the cold water out in the pipe with the hot water following behind, and then you will have hot water. So, and it seems like it takes forever because we have low flow faucets. So what are they, John? 1.8 gallons a minute?
Yeah,
or something.
1.6 or something like that.
So you're it takes a little bit of time. And so unless you put the water heater directly in the area where the water is being used, you're not going to have instant hot water.
Right. Because my main bathroom that I use, the water heater is right on the other side of the wall. And you think I would get hot water faster there versus everywhere else in the house.
Right.
I think it's because this one's so old and it's built up that calcium. Yeah, so it takes a literally, if I cut the hot water on, it'll take a literally 2 minutes to get there. It'll just run, and finally get hot. And then when I try to adjust it because it's too hot, then it goes back to cold.
Yeah.
So my system's shot. It's old. I've never flushed it out.
Don't do it now. Just wait. And when you're ready, go ahead and change it out. If you flush it now, you'll unseal some potential leaks.
It's probably got some holes and all that. Mm-hmm. It's just filling it up right now. And if I flush it, I'm going to be in trouble.
Right.
No, I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting a new one. I just wanted to compare the two, which one you thought would be better, because how long? I mean, is it a minute? Is that too? So basically, because it's traumatic. price range between one than the other.
Oh, yeah. Well, the tankless are way more expensive. So our rule of thumb for that, when people ask us what we think about them, we love them. We think they're great. But we only, if you need a continuous supply of hot water, in other words, if you have a couple of teenagers and everybody in the house likes to take hot showers and you're running the washer, dishwasher, whatever, all at the same time, then a tankless is the way to go. And it's worth spending the extra money on. But if it's not, a traditional water heater can be installed and you can actually turn the water heater up, but you put a mixing valve on top and you can adjust the water. So essentially what happens is you have superheated water inside the tank, but when it comes out, it can be adjusted to the temperature that you want. That with the recirculating pump is probably the most inexpensive way that you can have just about continuous hot water.
No, I like the tankless. That's what I got. I was just comparing the two because one of them says instant hot water, but it's like $700-$800 difference.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you, I have an electric water heater right underneath my master bathroom, which is 75 feet from the gas water heater. But I feed that water heater with the water heated from gas, hot water, and it keeps the water warm, and it still takes 20 to 30 seconds for the water to come out of the spigots hot.
Okay.
Hot. And it's right there, but it's because the faucets are low flow. It just takes that long for the water to get through it. So, and John, I don't know if you've ever timed yours. I mean, I know it sounds silly to some people, but I do stuff like that for the show, too. Have you ever timed it, John?
I've not timed it because the sensor is placed like immediately under the sink, and so
you have hot water within seconds.
Yeah, I literally like turn on the hot water, stick my foot in, and it's hot.
Right.
So it's probably a couple seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're lucky.
We've always talked about that, and I won't say preach, but we've always suggested to people to be thinking about things like this because it's one thing to not have hot water instantly because we live in an instant gratification world, but it's the amount of water that we waste that we dump down the drain. So all that cold water that's going down the drain that we've been waiting for hot water, that's the sad part.
I used to, when we were in the drought. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a lot of water. When we were in drought scenarios here, whatever it was 10, 15 years ago, and I didn't have the recirculating pump, I had a bucket in the shower, and I would fill the bucket and then set it aside and use it to flush the toilet because it was that much water. And I could flush. I had a 5-gallon bucket. I could flush more than one time. I would flush it and refill the tank. And then that's how much came out to get water to the temperature we wanted to get it to. So,
wow, that's smart.
Well, I don't know about
it's
how smart.
Sad,
it's,
you
just
know,
like, it's just how much water you consume
water,
right, trying to get to temp.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Hey, welcome.
Like I said, second time listener, and I drive to work every morning. And when I caught y'all's show, I'm hooked. I mean, I learned a lot of things, like cutting the bottom of the door, and I've done that, but I never ran into that issue. But now I know if I cut a little bit farther, I just put a little piece of wood in there and tack it in there, and
you're good to go.
I'm not no carpenter, but I'm pretty good handyman for myself.
But you're a good listener.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, guys. Thank you. You have a good day.
You thanks. You too, sir.
Bye-bye.
That was an important distinction, on demand water heater versus putting a pump in to
right.
have, you know,
and then
water there.
Also know that they do have actually instant hot water that you can put underneath a sink.
Yep.
That it plugs up. You have to have an outlet, but it's just a little tiny unit, and you usually see those in commercial places, and they work really well too. So you can actually have instant hot water right there. People do it in the kitchen too for
like a
tea
cup of
and
tea.
Drinks
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, look, we're right to the top of the, almost to the top of the hour. Time to take a break, so we're going to go ahead and do it. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to get away here for a little break and then be back to answer your home improvement questions. So get your questions ready, and we'll talk when we return from these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I am John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are glad you're here. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can always go to askjohnanddave.com and click on the questions button. Send us a note that way, or just go to questions@askjohnanddave.com, and we can help you that way as well. We've talked about several different things. I appreciate the great calls and the great questions. Mm-hmm. David, here's a hack I wish I had known a few years ago, just didn't think about it. Like the older cabinets don't always have a, the metal runners on the side or a runner up the center to help, the drawer pull in and pull out. It was just wood on wood.
Right.
And they can get pretty hard to pull out, especially if you have like a silverware drawer or something that's got some weight in it. Over a period of time, the wood just wears. There is a product. It's a self-adhesive nylon tape. I found it at Rockler. And Rockler is an online catalog. I guess you can get an actual printed catalog. Maybe not anymore. I don't know. It's visited by serious woodworkers and things like that. David, I'm sure you've been there for different bits and things like and so on. But it's a self-adhesive tape, so you got to make sure that the wood is clean. But you apply it to the runner surface and to the bottom of the drawer, and it glides like nobody's business.
We used to do it with a plastic laminate.
Ah, that also would work, right? Yeah. Just contact cement and make it glide.
I built drawers in the back of a pickup truck years and years ago that slide on the bed liner. And that's what I did, was I laminated the bottom of the box that was basically a real long drawer. I had two of them, and then I had a shelf, a cover over top of it, so you could still put stuff in the truck, but I could keep the tools underneath. And that's what I used, was laminate on the bottom, and it wore like forever. It did a great job for a long time.
That makes good sense. There you go. Two for one.
But the tape is easier.
Tape is easier if you don't have a piece of laminate to cut.
Well, you have to have a table saw, and you got to cut the laminate. Yeah. Contact cement and all that. So,
that's all right. It's all good. I thought that was pretty slick.
That
idea.
Is slick. I like that. I didn't even know that was available. So I'll have to keep that in mind.
So while we're on the topic, LVT. The question was, what's the best way to cut LVT? Planks.
You could score and snap them.
Yeah.
And that's what I see most of the time in the field. But for intricate cuts, they're using a table saw, just a small miniature 10-inch table saw on site. Which, by the way, we talked about that earlier, about not having a table saw. That's one of the tools that are really nice to have for a lot of things. You may not use it a lot, but they have come down in price.
Mm-hmm.
They're unbelievably inexpensive for what they are. And of course, you can set it up on sawhorses. You don't have it. And we say table. It's not table height. They have wheels and a little handle, and you can roll them around to store them. But I have a big table saw in the shop. But
yes,
I'll take the small one to job sites on a pretty regular basis, and sometimes I'll cut on the ground. But if I have a lot of cutting, I'll set it up on top of a piece of plywood on some sawhorses, and it's awesome to have a table saw on site. You can do
incredible things.
So much. The work is so much better and easier, and really kind of safer if you think about it.
Yes.
If you understand the practices, I just encourage if if you've never been around a table saw or you haven't used one, go online and find a video or look at the directions, and it'll tell you the things that you need. There's just a couple of basic things. Most of it's common sense. I guess if you don't have any common sense, maybe you shouldn't buy one. I don't know. But
you might not know, though.
But
you
don't stand behind it. Yeah, if you don't know, study that, because a table saw could be pretty dangerous pretty quick. So.
I have sent projectiles.
Yes.
Great distances, unintentionally, with my table saw.
Yeah. Always between the blade and the fence, it can pinch and it'll shoot it backwards and yep. It'll come out of there like you can't believe how fast.
Yeah. But you make a really good point. They are inexpensive. I just bought the rigid version, as you say, that collapses down. It slides flat under my steps in the garage. Put a little cloth over it to keep it clean, and slide it out when I need it, and it lifts up to table height. The platform on that will expand left and right. There's a release, so you can get a fairly good sized piece of material on that to do a rip cut. And then Rigid makes they look like a mini sawhorse, but they tip, and they're kind of at an angle. You put them at the right height, so as you push long stock through the table saw, it hits there's a term for it, and I can't even think of it, but that holds it straight out flat. As it hits it, it tips back up and goes up parallel to the ground, and then it holds your stock as the longer piece goes through.
Right.
And a piece of casing or whatever isn't, you know, drooping down, or because that's what will cause binding.
Sure.
Right.
Well, a catch table, which is what I have in the shop, and it's a large, and we use it for assembly and other things, but that's what I built it for, was to catch plywood and other things that you're pushing through the saw.
And this works in the field, so I just take it with me, and I don't have the big stationary version. So great advice, really good advice. All right, so that's LVT. If you're using like a Pergo type product, you can actually rent. It's kind of like a big chop saw.
Shear.
It's a shear. It's just a single blade, right? And it's got a compound joint, and you can cut that across its width. Pretty readily. And if you've got to do tricky cuts, you can use like a jigsaw.
Sure, or a multi-tool will work. Notch.
And multi-tools are great. Mm-hmm. And then let's take a 2 seconds while we're at it and talk about the fact that I ran us past our break, and so I won't talk about it.
Well, Tommy's going to answer.
Okay, yeah, so let's keep going. So one of the things that can be a challenge with LVT is just undercutting door jams. So if you had carpet and they just went to the jam and the jam goes to the floor, now you got to slide something under there. You can get a what's called a jam saw. And if you're just doing this once or twice, there's no sense investing in a power jam saw. But the handle gets attached to it at an angle so that you can lay a piece of your product, the LVT or whatever it is, on the floor, put the jam saw blade on top of it, and then saw through the jam, and now you're the perfect height for the flooring, because you've got the flooring there plus the kerf of the saw. So nice clean cut.
Yep.
All right, Pam, we see you out there. Don't go away. We got to sneak away for our break. We'll be back to answer your question and any others at 704-570-1110 when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped push the overall survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. Join me today in supporting St. Jude by calling 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 to become a partner in hope. Your gift to St. Jude could last a lifetime.
Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the number. We're going to talk to Pam. Good morning, Pam. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. How can we help?
Okay. I've got a question about some new porcelain tile and also granite that was put in my home in bathroom and kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I had porcelain tile put in the bathroom shower, which is a polished tile.
Mm-hmm.
And the floors are matte finish.
Mm-hmm.
So the installer used a product called Maypie Sanded Grout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when he left, he said it didn't have to be sealed. They don't seal it anymore. Well, I'm a little bit concerned about that. And I'm wondering if what you recommend on sealing grout and whether or not it can the same product could be used on like a mat. I've done some research, and I'm just very confused about what I should do.
Yeah. So, David, the grout, what was the name of the grout again, please?
It's spelled M-A-P.
Mappy.
Okay. So the question is,
M-A-P-E-I.
Is that a polyurethane grout? Is that a...
It has the sealer built in it. It's like okay. Pro-Tech.
Okay.
It's a good grout, and he's right. It does have sealer in it, and you could certainly try to seal it, and it may take
bubble
it.
Up.
But it probably won't. Most places won't take the sealer. Eventually it can be sealed. Excuse me. It is a. It's more likely to wear off in the shower sooner with the water than it is on the floor out in the wide open. Does that make sense? I'm assuming the floor's tiled outside the shower.
Yeah, the tile in the floor is a matte finish, mm-hmm. and the tile in the shower is is polished on the wall, and the floor is not like highly polished,
Right. Yeah, so you're good for now. I would come back in a year after it's done, and I would test the sealer. And the way we test it, John, the best way is just when it's dry, just take a little bit of water and sprinkle on it. And if it beads up, it doesn't need to be sealed. And if it darkens up the grout, then it needs to be sealed. Is the easiest way.
Okay, so if I wait a year, are you saying only to seal what's in the shower, the areas that get wet all the time, and I don't have to worry about the floor that is a mat?
That's where the sealer's going to go away sooner because mm-hmm. you're scrubbing, you're using, it's wet all the time, it's wet, dry, then you're scrubbing. The floor gets mopped once in a while, but probably doesn't, it's not taking the same amount of action as the shower gets. So that's what you have to worry about. That's how we do it at our house. And we used a really good grout, and it was good for 2 years. And now I seal the floor. The grout on the walls in the shower are still fine. I don't have a problem. They don't get wet. They don't ever darken up with the water, but the floor does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's small tiles, and it's fine. It's great. It's doing its job, but I seal it every year. I steam clean it, and then I seal it.
Okay. And you have a professional come in to steam clean it, or you do it
yourself? Yeah, his name's David Dovell.
Oh, okay.
It's
all right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your call, Pam. Great question.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's a good. It's a good segue to just thinking about that question at large, David, with respect to grout and knowing when it's time to seal your grout. It's really important to do that because water will wick behind that over a period of time, and depending what your substrate is, it could cause a little bit of trouble.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is probably the thing that people are shocked the most when I explain this to them and get them to understand that in a tiled shower, a certain amount of water goes through the grout joints and goes underneath. And the idea is to try to, it's designed to do that,
mm-hmm.
but the less water that goes through, the better off you are. So basically how it's built, they put on the plywood floor, they'll put slope board, and then they'll come in with a liner, and then they put grout on top of that, or basically it's a mortar, it's a concrete, but they infill that and they slope it to the drain, and then the drain actually has weep holes between where the polyurethane or the plastic that they put down underneath it, the liner, is cinched onto that, but there's weep holes in there, so when water gets through the tile grout, and it gets through the mortar base that's underneath the tile, it will get on that liner and it will run to the drain, and it will still drip out. It'll still get out. But if you can seal the grout, and if you will keep the corners caulked so where the tile floor meets the walls, you'll have less water penetrating that mortar bed that's underneath the tile, and it will last longer. When it stays wet, and it's wet for years and years, eventually it starts to deteriorate. And then when it starts to deteriorate, the tile breaks its bond from the base, and now you have to replace. Now you're in there and you're doing a $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 tile job, whatever it is. So sealing it, as much of a pain as it seems that it might be, it's worth it. It's worth every penny. It's worth every second. So a good cleaning, and that's why I like to do it, John, and I know you do yours too, is that when you get in there and you actually clean it and you get close to it, you can see, is there any grout missing? Is there any cracks? You can investigate. You can see things when you get right up close to it. And like I said, it takes a couple of hours, but once you're done, you're done for the year.
Exactly. And I think the water test is good. When if you read the instructions, when you're applying the grout sealer, they'll have you put it on a first coat, let it dry, and a second coat, and let it dry. And they'll even recommend a third, just to see. If you start putting a third coat on and you just see it's like beating up like whack, like sure, a water on your car after you wax it,
apply till rejection.
Yeah, you're good, and go on. So really good stuff, really good basic maintenance kinds of things, good information.
That'll save you in the long run.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And of course, if it doesn't matter and you know you're going to, maybe you'll be sick of it by the time that it deteriorates.
Tear it out,
redo it.
Get out the hack jammer.
We love it.
That's what my grandson calls a jackhammer. He goes, "Pop, pop, but you got a hack jammer. We need a hack jammer." Okay.
Like sansitizer.
Yeah, that's it.
And sansitizer.
A hack jammer sounds like a security device on your computer, though.
Right.
All right, let's see. Hey, there's one more piece on LVT that I thought was a really good question. So, there's a snap kind of scenario. You kind of tip the tile up on the long, for the long edge, you get it as close as you can on the short edges. You tip it up, click it in, and then you use a block to tap it all the rest of the way in, and you tap to connect the short edges. But now you're up against the wall and you can't get your block and your rubber mallet to tap it in. What do you do? And there's actually a cool little tool. It's like a Z. If you look at the profile of it, it's got a short lip that goes down over the edge of the LVT, and then it's got a bigger lip, and it comes out from your, it's about 14 inches long, maybe. I'm going by memory here, but it's longer than one course of most LVP planks. And so you put that in, it catches the far end, you put your block in there and tap the upright portion of the Z, and boom, snaps it in. Makes a big difference.
Sure does.
And when that has to happen on a Gordon project, I send Chris, get under the stairs and go do that. I don't do it anymore. All right, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're going to take a little break here. I think we're coming right up against our break. Yep, yes, we are. So we're going to sneak away for a break. Get your questions ready. 704-570-1110. We'll talk home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. We've got a lot going on. We've got a lot going on. So let's do this. Let's do our Home Depot product of the week. This week, it's a product from Deltile, Express Mosaic Perfect Fit. I'm looking at a style called Coastal Marble. It's very pretty. Why I think it's a great product. It's a Deltile product, so you know that it's going to be good, high quality. But it's cut to be 18 inches to fit precisely in the typical space for a backsplash. Now, you may be different than that, so you should measure it before you dive into this. But these really pretty mosaic designs are wonderful, except when you have to cut them. And if you're a professional, okay, you probably get it done, not a problem. If you're an amateur, it can be tricky, A, because you don't have the equipment. You rent the equipment, it's difficult to work. These fit right in, no cuts required. So, and then easy to, it goes up traditionally as ceramic tile would, and you get a great looking backsplash without spending a great amount of money. So our product of the week this week is Dal Tiles Express Mosaic Perfect Fit Ceramic Tiles. Boom. Done. All right. Let's go back and talk about home improvement. And we had hit all the topics on the LVT or planks and flooring. A question came up, David, that was, okay, I can't sweat copper just connections. And the note that I have is, if you have a choice between using shark bite fittings and purchasing a crimp tool to make the PEX connections, which is, at the end of the day, the more efficient way to go? And I think it sort of depends on the size of the job and the frequency of doing stuff, but what are your thoughts on that? Because shark bite fittings are not cheap. They're
right.
Awesome,
well,
but they're not cheap.
I'll tell you where I like shark bite fittings is with CPVC.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same diameter as the copper and as the PEX on the outside. So that fitting is great because technically CPVC, which is the yellow or the gold looking PVC pipe, made for water lines and it's made for hot water. If you have to replace a supply cutoff underneath a sink and CPVC sticking out of the wall, well, you would buy that fitting and you would glue that and put it together. But technically, if you read the directions, it says you got to let that set for 24 hours
right
before you turn the water back on. That's mm-hmm. where a shark bite valve or fitting is perfect. Now, if you have to put something on that pipe, then the shark bite is where you go. Then I probably would switch over to the crimp tool. And I have that stuff because I built my house, and that's what we did. That's my brother's a plumber, and he said, "I can't believe you don't have one of these." Well, I did have one. So,
okay. So crimp tool, and there's some initial investment to it,
right?
Do you remember what that is roughly? I don't.
The original ones that we bought were $100, but I think they're $25 or $30 now for the low end crimp tool. If you spend more money on a larger tool, it makes it easier to crimp the larger crimp rings. So the nice thing about that crimp tool is that it crimps 1/2 inch, 3/4, and 1 inch.
Okay.
It's the cinch type that grab the little nub and pull it together.
Right.
And it also allows you to get into smaller places and use it. So it's more like a pair of adjustable pliers is essentially the medium size is about the size of those crimp tools.
Okay. All right. So if you think about the investment, there is some, you also have to buy the rings and stuff like that, but it sounds like from an ease of work, and then certainly financially, purchasing the crimp tool is the way to go.
Well, yeah, because the shark bites are great, and when you need them in a pinch, and if it's a quick and it's an emergency, and that's all you have, then it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with them. I hear some people say that, well, what's going to happen in 15, 20 years down the road?
And I'm
like, well, I don't know, and neither do you. So don't
okay.
worry about it.
let's add that to the worry list because we got nothing else to worry about.
Right.
No, that's a legit question. I get it. But yeah, it's okay. So that's good. I think have you looked at, or I don't, maybe you own one. The I know Milwaukee makes one, the device that will actually crimp copper.
I don't, and just simply, and I do know how to sweat, and I'm pretty good at it, copper fittings.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this juncture of my life, I wouldn't invest in that equipment. But I know plumbers that do have it, and it's very, very cool stuff. And I understand why they use it, because no open flame, way less chance of leaks. Costs a little bit more, but, maybe in the end it doesn't. you know, really, if you, it depends on how you think about it. So,
got it.
Pretty cool. Lots of videos of that being used out there too. I don't know if you've seen those.
I haven't gone out to take a look. I've actually seen the demos done by the Milwaukee people.
Right.
And it's pretty slick.
But Reels and TikTok and, you know, that's the, if I'm watching, that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking at, because I'm always, you know, I want to bring it on here, share it.
Yeah, I go out there for makeup tips. It's like I've changed my foundation 2 or 3 times now because of what I learned out there.
Okay.
That's terrible. 704-570-1110. Get your questions ready. We will not talk makeup unless it's making up our value in your attic. We do have to take a break, so we'll do that. We'll sneak away and be back to answer your questions at 704-570-1110 when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey fam, I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in hope today.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And here's a news flash. It's 2024 and it's an election year. And WBT is gearing up to bring you all the latest on what's sure to be an election cycle for the ages. We'd like you to join us for the WBT North Carolina 8th Congressional District Republican primary debate. It's Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m. at Wingate University's Batt Center. It'll be moderated by Bo and Beth, with questions that'll come from questions of the candidates will come from our very own team: Vince Coakley, Pete Callender, Brett Winterbull, Mark Garrison, Brett Johnson. Thank you to our sponsor, our vendor sponsor, Wingate University, and welcome to all WBT listeners to listen to all of it right here on WBT. All right, that is really cool. It's going to be an interesting year. Get your blood pressure medicine out. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the number to talk. We talked about crimp shark bites. Okay, this is an oldie but goodie, David, but I think we should do it. Doorknob hole in the drywall. What do I do? I hung a picture there, and it doesn't look good.
It's a little low. Well, my favorite is the plastic pieces that you buy.
Yeah.
They're actually, that becomes your doorstop. You really don't even have to fix the hole. You can just actually, they come with a little sticky sticker on the back that you peel off.
Yep.
But I peel that off, but then I'll take and put a little bit of latex caulk and let that act as the glue, and it just holds better, and they don't fall off. So that works well. It covers the hole, and then it becomes the doorstop. And I'm actually thinking about replacing some of the hinge pin stops.
Yeah, yeah.
But they come out of adjustment all the time, so if you don't put a little Loctite or something on them, it's a problem. And anyway, I like those.
So I do like the idea of that the little patch, because I think that's also paintable.
Mm-hmm.
You can, so it doesn't it have is. To be kind of white. You can actually paint it.
Yeah, you just paint, color paint you right want. Over whatever yep. the wall color
and
is.
So I mean, it's not a perfect blend, but it does beat the picture that you hang there.
It does. I guess it depends on the picture.
Oh, that's true, but I don't know.
What you could put a picture there? Of a hole in the wall.
Yeah, you could do that. Or I guess why buy a picture? Just frame the hole.
There you go.
This is going south fast. Let's move on. All right, here's a good one. There's a double solution for this, in my opinion. So, person wants to redo an outdoor rail, wants to do it in wood, so a handrail for a deck or porch, says they hate treated because it warps and splits too readily. And the answer to that is yes, it does resist decay. And with right care, you know, it's good. But there are solutions from a species of wood that will not warp and check. All wood is going to warp and check potentially, right? In my opinion, and I'm not a lumber expert, but I've spent a minute or two around lumber. I think that there's a dual solution for it. Number one is get a hem fir or a fir product. It's not treated. It will rot. But it's super stable, very, very tight grain. So it doesn't, and minimal grain, right? It's a slow growing wood. So it's not going to warp as readily. And then David, to really do it right, what cedar shield?
Yeah, I would.
Right?
I would cedar shield it and then let it set 72 hours and then paint it. And I would soak it till it rejects it. And that's really what you want when you put anything like that on top of wood. Just like we were talking about the grout. Just put it on, apply it till it rejects it and it does no longer soaks in. It'll last a very long time. I mean, there's other woods out there, so if you really want wood, you want to be able to paint it. Fir is a good choice. My brother used a lot of sugar pine. Holds up really well too. It's real dense.
Same deal, dense. Any slow growing wood would be a good solution, mm-hmm. as far as resisting the warping and stuff, right? Because the wood will traditionally warp along its grain.
Right.
Well, yeah, let's just leave it at that without getting super technical. So I like that solution, both from a species of wood and then protecting the species, the species with the cedar shield is a good deal.
Right.
We got,
and of course, beyond that, you've got aluminum and you've got vinyl rails that you can buy, and that stuff is getting cheaper and cheaper. I mean, it's expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than it was when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a real surge now in the popularity, both inside and outside, of the cable rails.
Yes.
Right, where you you have a little mini turnbuckle at the end, and you pull the rail through. I think it's sharp and crisp looking, but you got to have the decor. Outside, it's not a problem because you're not typically trying to match a particular decor. Inside, it could look a little bit out of place if you've got a traditional, you know, decor,
right.
And then all of a sudden you got this kind of stark cable look. It could be, mm-hmm. It could look a little funky.
Modern French country.
Right. Contemporary cable. So here, the next bunch of things that I've got written down here are all, let's just call them surface to surface deals. Well, I got one that's kind of like the, kind of like the doorknob thing, but it's going to take a minute to fix correctly. Swag light pulled from the drywall ceiling. So I don't know if anybody still uses swag lights.
I see them. Well, a lot of times we'll see a light that's not centered over a breakfast table,
mm-hmm.
or even a dining table.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And
they'll swag it.
You'll swag it, and that will get it centered up. And the fact is once it's centered over the table, people normally don't ever look back up again.
Yeah.
You know, but you notice if it's not centered.
Yeah, that's true. So in my opinion, it's not, the light is not hanging from, like, the fixture itself isn't hanging from a swag hook. There's just a little hook in the ceiling, right? And it's usually on a toggle bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it expands out behind it, and then you got the hook, and all it's carrying is the weight of the chain. So there's not an electric connection, but depending on the style of the light, it could weigh a little bit, right?
Right.
So, all right, so the toggle thing didn't work. Now you got a big old hole. Hanging a picture on the ceiling there is even dumber than hanging it behind the doorknob, and you got to put the light back up there. What do you do?
Well,
you block it, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, you seal it up, and then you a lot of times, if you have that situation, you could go to a larger type of anchor, but you would put some type of a medallion,
right,
up there, and
that makes sense. Yeah.
And that could hide it. So yeah, I mean, you just have to do the best you can do. Usually you're going to patch it up and then rehang it.
What if you did this? What if you took a piece of 1x? You probably have to enlarge the hole a little bit, make it clean, make it square, whatever, so you can patch it up anyway. Get a piece of 1x and kind of, you know, at an angle, slide it up in there behind the hole, and then screw it in either side of the hole so that is now stationary in place. Patch the hole, and now you can put your swag hook straight into the 1x.
That's exactly what you would do.
That would be better, I think.
That would work fine. The problem is that now you find out that it's an open floor plan, so you don't just have to paint that area. You have to paint the entire ceiling, which is usually what happens to me. What was a $125 repair now is $700.
And as a stockholder of the Home Depot, I'm thrilled with your solution. All right.
You're the only one.
No, I'm really not.
I know.
I spend a lot of time figuring out how to save customers time and money, and that means my sales go down, but loyalty goes up, and I like deposits in the latter account.
Absolutely.
This one is, I think this is a slam dunk for you, and we got to do it quick, I guess. I got to attach a clothesline to a brick wall. So you got the little thing that holds a clothesline, like a hook. You really want to attach it to a piece of wood. How would you do that?
Tapcon.
Okay.
The best anchor, best anchor there is out there. Simple.
And do you drive the Tapcon into like a polyurethane or no?
I do sometimes.
Okay.
Depending on what I'm going into. If you have to go into mortar, then you probably need to put a little extra in there.
Got it. All right. Boom. That takes us to 2 hours. We appreciate the great calls this week. Y'all had some good questions and some fine comments, and we're genuinely grateful for those things. We're going to wrap it up, though, folks. It's another show in the books. We like to remind you at the end of each of these shows that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Lots going on, lots of reasons to stress. Don't do it. Work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.